Welcome to Clue, the Coronavirus Legal Update, a podcast providing you with the latest legal information related to the coronavirus and how it impacts you as an individual, small business, or large business in South Carolina. I'm your host, Attorney Melissa Miller of the Miller Law Firm, PA, and today we sit down with CPA Mark Hsu, who will provide further clarification regarding the CARES Act, plus information for small businesses from an accounting perspective. In addition, Mark will provide some fascinating insights regarding what we do and do not know about the situation in China. Without further ado, let's talk with Mark and get our first clue. Mark, thank you for joining the Clue podcast. I want you to clarify, as a CPA, can you clarify all of the relief available under the CARES Act and how small businesses should go about applying?
Okay. Hey, Melissa, thank you for having me. So I think as of right now, there are probably three or four separate things out there for small businesses that are impacted. The first thing is the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Relief Loan. And of course, there is the Paycheck Protection Program, commonly referred to as PPP. There is a payroll tax credit called Employee Retention Credit. And there is another assistance out there. It's also in the form of a non-taxable income by employer paying employee student loan. And that's commonly overlooked, but to me, it's quite actually useful for many of the self-employed people that is out there, particularly the medical people out there.
Okay, and my understanding is that you can, you can't just apply for a grant. You have to apply
that
for...
That is correct.
Okay, can you explain that to small business owners who are applying for relief under the CARES program?
Correct. So that part is really, really confusing. As far as I know, this EIDL program was rolled out probably as early as last Wednesday, When it first came out, it was an online application where you make a username, a password, okay? And then the site crashed. It probably lasted in that form for about 24 hours. And then it changed to the second stage where you have to fill out paper forms, upload everything in the form of a PDF, and that lasted till about Sunday. And then as of this Monday, which is 2 days ago, as we currently have, and the system has been streamlined, where you're going to fill out a basic information to apply for the EIDL, and then you can request whether you wanted to get the advance. They didn't call that a grant in the web page, but it's really what it is. It's called an advance, $10,000, where you put in your banking account and routing number, and that's what it's for.
Okay, so the
In other words, you cannot say, hey, I just want the $10,000 grant. You have to apply for the loan, and the grant is something to come with it.
Okay, so the grant and the EIDL, the disaster relief loan and the grant have to be the EIDL grant have to be applied for together. Is that correct?
Correct. For instance, here, if you otherwise qualify for $50,000 of this EIDL loan, and you were given $5,000 as a grant, and your loan amount will be reduced then to $45,000, and that's the amount you're going to pay back. Or your loan application could be denied, and you still may be able to get the grant. I think as of now, I know about 13 people, me, myself included, has applied under the current streamlined system. So we will have to wait till Friday to see if anybody get any replies. And we'll be able to update everybody on by that time.
So the process is a pretty quick turnaround, correct?
According to what they say, the release of the grant is 3 business days. But so far, the earliest person that applied is Monday. I called her this morning. She has not received anything. No email, no messages, no money yet at this point.
So theoretically, it should be quick, but in reality, and with
according to what they're saying, the grant is a bridge to help you to get something in your hand, to help you with imminent need while they're working on the loan. So the grant, according to them, is as soon as 3 business days. We are in day number 2, and so far we haven't heard anything.
So
I will update you as soon as I hear anything.
Okay.
I know of 30 people that have done this.
So would it be fair to say to small businesses, the sooner you get your application in, the better off you are? It's a bit of a lottery system. Is that what you're seeing?
That I don't know. The way I've been telling the people I work for, Melissa, is this. I told them, I said, look, the first batch of people has already applied. Monday, Tuesday, right? And I really believe if you look at the form, you could do it until September the 30th. It may not be a bad idea, Melissa, to actually wait till us to get some reply and see exactly how it is, and then recommend other people to apply. Because I know the people who first apply last Wednesday, where the system is still working, you know, they're not going to get a chance to get the grant. So it's very complicated. I would say it's, you know, there could be IT issues. We really need to see how the current system performs. And then we can have more data to tell people, because they already changed twice, if that makes sense. It's already changed on us twice.
Okay.
In the way of how it's being applied.
Okay. So if people have already applied, their application may be delayed because of the government crash, the system crash?
Well, the system already crashed like 2 times. So the way we have it now is as of this Monday. So I really think the best thing to do to tell people is for us, the first few people who have applied, to see what's going to happen. That way we have more data. Because right now we're just guessing. We don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. Now, there's also, as part of the further clarification, there's the PPP loan. Okay, and that's separate. Is that correct?
That is exactly true. The Paycheck Protection Program is a loan that is completely separate. If you go on SBA's website now, they have updated website. You can clearly say they're telling you that you apply through local banks.
Okay, so you can apply for the PPP or you can apply for the disaster relief loan, but you can't apply for both. Is that correct?
Okay, so there's some conflicting information. I'm going to make a clarification. When I updated my newsletter on Sunday, the code clearly states you cannot have them both. This morning I was talking to somebody at Bank of Travelers Rest. They're discouraging people to have them both. But then I have had sources from some of the senators' website and from the SBA itself saying that you can't have both, but you just cannot use the fund for the same purpose.
I see. So what are you advising your clients?
What I think people should do, as Brian suggested, because the PPP program may not start as they plan on the Friday, April the 3rd, it may get further delayed by a week or two. So I would recommend people actually to try the EIDL first and see how that goes. Because really the environment we're in right now, things are changing by the minute. They're changing quick.
It's unbelievable. On that note, can you talk to me a bit about what information exists out there, besides what you've already talked about, that small businesses need to know? Because there is a lot of misinformation out there.
Okay, let's see here. So other than the economic relief, other than the PPP, there is the employee retention credit. The 941 tax form has not been revised, so we don't know exactly how the form will look like. And there will be some relief to help people to pay student loan for their employees as a tax-free compensation. And that's what's currently available. Of course, on the state level, your employment taxes, your sales taxes has been delayed. And also for small businesses, your employer share of your FICA taxes has been delayed for 2 years.
Okay, so that's information that people have been confused about?
Yeah, I think what it is there's so much stuff out there. For example, the $10,000. In the EIDL, the grant is $10,000. In the PPP, the forgiveness is $10,000. In the employee retention, it's up to $10,000. So when people see these $10,000, they thought it's the same thing, but it's completely different subjects. There is a lot of confusion out there. You see email being made to people saying, I get you $10,000, but they didn't make clear what $10,000 they're talking about. They're completely different.
Okay, so you have a lot of financial people trying to cash in on the situation. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, because as of last week, there's already been scams for checks being mailed out to people. And that's a separate topic. That's about the recovery rebate. It's not one of the small business provisions for the general public.
I guess the concern for the public, or what small businesses need to know, is they need to be aware of these, and for lack of a better term, loan sharks out there who may charge a lot up front.
For example, as we all know, certain type of business, let's say your law firm, it will be really good candidate to get a PPP program. It is really is. Let's say there's another company is a rental real estate. They have a company, they own 10 rental real estate, and tenants are not paying them rent. They are really not, in my opinion, a candidate for the PPP at all. But then they're getting emails from these, you know, equity companies trying to charge them a fixed fee to handle these. So there's a lot of stuff going on. I think before people pay them any money to do things, they really needed to know if they qualify. Like, I will not charge a company money to apply for something if I know they're really not a good candidate for.
And is that something you can assess as an accountant?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Okay. And Mark, if you could give viewers your contact information,
our listeners,
your contact information in case they are in need of accounting advice. Do you have a number they can contact?
Do you just need a phone number, or you need? I mean, I can send you a link to the website and phone number later if that's what you need, or you want me to just put in.
Sure. We can post that on the website, on our website, www.themillerlawfirmpa, for our podcast listeners and for our website viewers. And I'll have that up later today. Mark, what has changed, or what is going to change going forward for small businesses, for the short term and for the long term? Is there anything you see as a permanent change as a result of all of this?
Yeah, I do. I think I wanted to discuss about this in two different perspectives. The first perspective, I think, is from an accounting standpoint. In the world that we live in today, forms and paperwork is somewhat important. Oftentimes, like I, as a person, as a tax person, I really focus on the substance too, myself. So I'm a substance person. But on the other hand, paperwork and paperwork trail is very important. A lot of the time, small businesses, they underestimate the importance of paperwork. Say you have a contractor, he said, oh, don't worry about the 1099, it's gonna be okay, everything's gonna be fine. And so you don't send him a 1099. And then this happens. You know, you cannot prove that you paid him. The person cannot prove that he had income from you and going to get denied. This morning, I have already got words. I don't do nail salon people at all. I don't have any clients, but I already got word from some Vietnamese community that this nail technician, for example, is having a very hard time with South Carolina unemployment. And the reason for that is their accounting paperwork just is not good. It's not properly prepared, and they're not putting enough importance on them and getting them done right. So now they're paying the price for, you know, for things like this. A lot of restaurants, I was talking to an IRS manager last Wednesday. She was telling me a lot of restaurants was underreporting wages. All of the wages was really low. It's not just for Chinese restaurants, it's probably everybody else. Now when this happens, unemployment is gonna be low. Qualification for PPP is gonna be low, and a host of other things. So I think the businesses now are starting to realize it's not just about substance, it's also about getting the proper paperwork. So paperwork is very important. That's what I think is going to permanently change how people deal with things.
Mark, it's been 13 years since you've lived in China. What can you tell us that perhaps we're not hearing in the United States about what is going on in China? What misinformation exists out there? What information are we just not getting?
Well, it's a good question here. Me personally, I think that we should really doubt the number they're giving to you, okay? you know, it's just highly unreasonable to think about that. Italy is 60 million people. I think Germany is about 90 million people. France is maybe about 50, 60 million people. So they are about a province size in China. There's no way the ground zero, only 2,000 people dead. University of Spain, Italy, you got 10,000 people died. So the number just doesn't seem to make sense. I think they're underplaying this a little bit.
So you think the numbers in China may be higher than what we're reading about?
It's got to have to be. It's got to have to be higher. But on the other side, I understand why they're doing this, because they've shut the country down for 3 months. Everybody needs to go back to work to start producing, you know, income, producing product, growing the GDP. If they keep locking it down, it's just going to be really detrimental. So I think that's why they really, you know, are not reporting it. Maybe people dead, they say, oh, it's death of other reason, or people died at home. You know, they're not going to add the number in because they have to. They have to. They can't let the economy to go down like this. So I think that's what's happening right now.
Fascinating, Mark. I appreciate.
I can tell you the measure they're taking, because I know of clients who are mid-sized businesses, and it was so desperate for them to get production going. They were actually ordered to get loans. They were not recommended to apply for it. They were ordered to take it.
Rather than send workers back to work.
Correct. Some of the mid-sized businesses were ordered to take free loans and to spend them.
And this is ordered by the government?
Correct. They were ordered by maybe the local commerce department. And I've talked to two different people already, and they run a mass company, so they're pretty successful. They were ordered to take loans, interest-free loans, of course.
Now, what we're seeing, and to get off of the business topic for a minute, but what we're seeing is a trend downward in the number of deaths in China. But is that the reality on the ground? Are the numbers still going up and just not being reported? Or what is your information on that?
Well, the place I come from is the most developed in the country of all. So it's the wealthiest place. So maybe where I come from, in Shanghai, everything is fine, as far as I recall. But in the ground zero, for the videos that I'm seeing, I don't think that's the case. I think it's still quite severe.
And where can our listeners get real information about what is really going on?
Well, they can go to Twitter and then just see people lining up in front of the mortuary, picking up stuff. There's French media this morning I saw. They have pictures inside of the mortuary. They've got a delivery truck, you know, delivery product for the mortuary, all these numbers and everything. So you can see them visually. And, you know, maybe you can't see them on the mainstream, but you can see in European media. There's actually some media in here that you can see all these reporting.
What can we do differently as a nation that perhaps China didn't do in the early stages of the pandemic that can stop the spread and stop us from seeing a spike, for lack of a better term? And I always dislike this term, but you know, flatten the curve, so to speak.
Listen, I think that's beyond what we can say. You know, I think they do have a early crackdown of restriction of movement quite early on in the game. And I think that's what Korea is doing. And that's what maybe Singapore is doing. And I think they're doing well. I don't know if it's doable in this country. I think Korea is getting it controlled pretty well. For instance, if there is an infected people, they will disclose the location. They will disclose the previous spot that he has been to. And I don't think it's doable in this country because of privacy. So this is really hard to comment. It's really hard to comment on people's right to privacy and how to really, you know, to combat the spread of this disease.